Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickel, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
I'm Ben Grayson, and I'm not ready for this.
I'm Dylan Reeve, local resident.
Yes, we're definitely not ready. This is all by the seat of our pants on the wrong day, because turns out everyone is all real busy on Tuesday, our regular recording day.
Yep. I'm good. At Dickhead's Speaker Drinks and other stuff.
Oh, are you speaking at Ticket, are you?
I am.
Are you speaking about how to hate on Android?
I am. It's going to be a whole session, a 400-level session on Android trolling.
Yeah, if there's a man to lead that session, it's you.
I'll tell you all sorts of important aspects, how to get your clout going, how to be influential on Android.
Speaking of Android, we have an announcement to make about the winner of our third and final Motorola Defy.
Thanks
to Telecom NZ for giving us all of those phones, $2,400 worth of phones. I thought it would never happen. I thought that the whole thing was probably just a kind of a gag entry.
The way it went down was so interesting, wasn't it? We sent the guy an email and said, yes, you've won, now you have to do the thing. And he didn't reply.
He didn't
say, okay, I will. Yeah. He just went quiet.
He entered radio silence.
But then a few days later, the video came through of a Samsung Galaxy S, which is it, Dylan, arguably a better phone than the Defy, or?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think it's got higher specs. They're both, quite high-end Android phones, but I think it's a bit more expensive, and I think it's a bit higher specs.
Yeah.
But it's not waterproof, and it's not slingshot into a wallproof either.
No, although, to be fair, I'm not 100% sure the Defy is either. It does have the Gorilla Glass screen, but I think that flinging it against a wall from a large slingshot possibly exceeds the manufacturer's.
So we'll put the video up in the show notes. Ben, I think you loaded up on YouTube.
I did. Dylan did as well, so we've got double YouTube.
Have we got it handy so I can give it to the chat room? Once again, we're streaming live on Mixlr. You guys can describe the slingshot while I find this.
So a big rubber, probably looked like an old inner tube or something, jammed into a door in two places. So basically the whole door was the slingshot frame.
Frame, yeah.
Yeah. And, and it was like a garage or a warehouse or something next door, through the door, which he pulled all the way back and then fired it. It was great. Smashed it against the wall.
Yeah, it was a working one. And
yes. Yeah, he showed it working, and actually with the latest releases of Discourse listed, so it must have been up to date. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Dylan's, what are you doing, Morgan? I've got the link here.
Oh, okay. Well, you can post it into the room, or you can chuck it on the Skype chat, because I only quickly found the original location, that weird mac.com or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, God, I've got to re-authenticate Mixlr. It's such a piece of crap.
Yes.
Sorry, Mixlr, we're using your service right now, but it's shit.
It's so shit.
Right. Look, I've made a short link. It's bit.ly/all_galaxy_destroy.
bit.ly/galaxy_destroy.
Yeah, it doesn't even render links properly in the chat either.
Oh, really? Stupid. So did I just...
Yep. Great story.
Yeah, good. Onwards and upwards.
Yeah. Yeah, so on the screen we can clearly see the Discourse feed, and as Ben mentions, episode 13, which is the one where we told him that he had to smash it. Yeah, it's beautiful though. He slingshots it on this big door mounted slingshot directly into a cinder block wall, and the battery and back fly off, and the screen shatters into a spider web.
And then he tries to turn it on, and it's got like 3 pixels. Yeah. That's it.
It was beautiful.
Sad day. So, are we shipping that via urgent couriers, Dylan?
I haven't asked, to be honest. I might just stick it in a courier post bag this time. I hadn't arranged anything formal with them. I think it's a bit
cheeky. Yeah, let's not push our luck, eh? Yeah.
We're sponsors of the show.
Well, I'll have to. I will approach them for perhaps the next let.
We'll have him on board as a sponsor alongside, what is it, PureVPN?
PureVPN, discourse.co.nz/VPN. It's gone extraordinarily well for us. We've earned a total of, from that sponsorship arrangement, we've earned a total of $6.24.
We actually made money.
Did you say $600? Is that what you said? That's not bad.
I have to say, $6 far exceeds my expectations, Morgan. I'm quite pleased with that outcome. You know, if we're going on a sort of percentage growth trajectory, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's almost enough to buy a T-shirt or something. A couple of coffees.
You go.
Thanks once again to Telecom. That is the end of the Motorola Defy competition. They're all gone, but guess what?
It's not the end of competition.
No, it's not the end of competition.
Now you can win some of my fine belly button lint.
Even worse.
And by fine, I'm not talking about a quality. I'm talking about the granularity of it. It's very, very fine.
Right. What have we really got, Ben?
What we really have is the amazing. Sorry, someone just interrupted me for a second. But no, what we have is something infinitely better than Android.
Oh yes.
Yeah, we have, because when I mentioned that I was sick of giving away Androids on the phone, thank you Telecom NZ and Motorola for your largesse, the Windows Phone 7 marketing guy in New Zealand said, have a couple of Windows phones to give away.
Oh, so, that's cool.
So we have two brand new boxed HTC Trophy Windows phones to give away, which will work perfectly well on Vodafone or 2Degrees. Yeah. And I believe they'll work okay-ish on Telecom, but obviously the... Morgan, Dylan, you've got experience with that, eh? When you have the wrong frequencies, what happens? When you're out of the cities, they don't work properly.
When you're not in the metropolitan coverage, you have issues.
Yeah, so they're not supported on Telecom, so you can have a crack. But
if you're in sort of built-up Auckland area, you'll probably be all right, but outside of those areas, it's anyone's guess.
Yeah.
Oh, stunk. I say bad frequencies.
but yes, Windows phones, and they will... soon.
Sorry, I put
soon.
It on loop.
We don't know when, but the rumors are September. We will get a. Is this their idea of an advertising campaign? Yeah, we will get Mango on those phones or Windows Phone 7.5.
Oh, so an operating system that is kind of a bit useful.
Yeah.
It's got like copy and paste and so on.
Well, no, they already have copy and paste when you do the update, but they'll get multitasking and sockets and all the stuff that we expect from smartphones, which is great.
Wow.
Yeah. So Leighton Duncan is asking, isn't Telecom only 850 megahertz everywhere? No, they do have 2100 megahertz, what do you call it? Infill in cities, which is why you can use them in the cities.
Yeah.
Right. So what's the competition, Morgan?
The competition, I didn't really like the destructiveness of our previous thing. And frankly, we're now one Android phone less in the world, which is not the direction I want to see see things going. I mean, personally, I would have rather have given it to someone who would have really, used it. And I've got a feeling that someone who would smash a Galaxy and who sends their email from an iPhone probably isn't going to use the Motorola Defy. So I think it's a little bit of a bummer. But the next show is what I call the Discourse Talent Show. And this is the opposite of destructive. This is about creativity.
I'm so excited about this. I'm so glad you brought it up.
This is about expressing your creativity in any way that you can.
We've got a live earthquake on the show. What's the story? Should we see if Leighton can come on?
Yeah, Leighton, get on Skype. Find your mic. Find whatever it is that you don't usually have around.
Earthquakes are so 6 months ago. Like, whatever.
All right.
Unless it's really bad, in which case I'll feel incredibly bad about having just said that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it if he can come on. Otherwise, all we know is there's been one. And from what I saw today, there have been 4,000 in the last 6 months. So there's been one tonight.
It's been rather quakey today.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. The idea... I'm sorry, I don't want to talk about that yet. But if he comes on, we'll talk about it. The idea is that you do whatever it is that you want to do. It could be something that you're good at. You could sing a song. You could write a short story. You could write a poem. You could do a Photoshop. You could make a painting. You could take a photo. You just do whatever it is. Anything. We're putting apples up against oranges and lemons.
Is,
yeah, so if you're a photographer, that's great. If you're a painter,
yeah.
If you're a musician.
Is eating quite a lot of food in a very short period of time, is that a talent?
If you video it, it could be. If there's some, I mean, I suppose if it's a performance, we'd have to see it somehow.
Well, if I did it sort of like mostly naked and oiled up, would that be? I mean, it could be like some sort of it's a performance art piece.
Well, the thing is,
consumerism and yeah,
what, it sounds good. You know, it sounds. I like your the direction you're taking it in, but also you've got two chances because on the one hand you could try and impress us personally because you know our personalities.
Yeah.
So nudity,
the nudity,
violence.
And
all
that. Yeah.
Don't kill
male nudity.
Dylan, yep. You're going to ruin everything. This is we're not meant to make our listeners puke and turn off. I would rather we use the example of, for instance, if you are really good at doing donuts in your car or on your nifty 50 motor scooter, that you do that on video rather than that you eat stuff while naked and oiled up.
On a safe closed road. We don't promote dangerous driving, Morgan. But what I'm saying, though, is you can either try and impress us or you can try and impress the listeners and the readers and our Twitter followers because we all have one. We've got two phones to give away, two identical Vodafone HTC Trophy phones.
Yeah.
One goes to the person we judge, me, you, and Dylan, judge to be best.
Yeah.
And the other goes to popular vote.
Right.
Right.
So this needs to be something that we can put in front of people. So it needs to be something we can put on the internet, that you can put on the internet. It needs to be a YouTube or it needs to be an MP3 you send us and we'll host it, whatever. Just get it to us. If it's words, get them to us. If it's a painting, you need to scan it or take a picture of it and get that to us. But yeah, we need to be able to put it up so that people can look at everything and then vote for their friends.
Spam their friends to vote for them and all that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Of course, we know that the one we choose is the real winner. That's the
point.
And the listeners know that as well. But the person that spams their mates the best, they also get a phone. So what do they care that they're not the real winner?
Yeah.
And do you know what? I think I might get generous here and throw in a wooden spoon for this competition to the worst, the one that has least votes.
Okay.
A new one or like a seasoned one that's been used for making a few, bolognese sauces and things?
No, I'm talking about a non-upgradable Android 1.6 Motorola backflip.
Oh,
okay. Not an actual wooden spoon.
No, a bad phone.
Great. So the worst person gets an Android phone that they hate, just so you can spread the Android hate.
Yeah, exactly.
This is another one of you planting. You're an agent provocateur. That's what you are.
I'm telling you, this is pure. You know, and it's level 400 Android phone.
Wow, you're amazing.
But I've got it seriously sitting in my cupboard, and I don't know what to do with it. So let's give it to the worst. The voted worst.
You know what you should do with it? Here's my challenge. Use it for a week. That's your phone for a week.
No,
go on.
I can't do it this week.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't. I physically can't.
No, you can. Go on. It's a challenge.
Maybe next week. We'll see how we go.
All right.
Okay. But so anything goes. I mean, you know, you have to be safe and legal, or at least illegal away from the eyes of the law.
Which would not be, typically speaking, on video then.
If it's illegal, then it should be moral. or if it's illegal and it's not moral, it should at least be amazing.
Well worth the fine and imprisonment that it will cause.
But we are not your lawyers and we are not advising you to do anything sketchy. But if someone did an amazing stencil that somehow represented me all over Wellington, said how much I hate the place, and there were enough of them around that say it got mainstream media coverage, then my vote would be so strongly for you. I probably should take that back.
Well, at least you'd have a strong alibi if it was Wellington. But you get the picture. Anything goes. Talent Quest. Think X Factor. Think school talent quest.
Yeah. But it's not like The Voice. We don't want people who only can sing. We want people who can do whatever. Whatever it is. And you don't have to do it live for us here. And if it's a video thing or a song thing, you can edit it, you can auto-tune it, whatever. You can do whatever it takes to make your stuff look better than it really is.
That's like my whole job.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, paint out all those cats.
Yeah.
So what's the timeline on this?
Well, we are actually going to take a little break, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, here comes time.
15 minutes.
15 minutes. We actually are probably going to announce the winners on... We have to announce two separate winners, don't we? So do we announce our winners on the 22nd of September?
We need to get time to get them up online, time to for people to vote.
Yeah. So, and we're going to be off the air from... We're going to have a show on the 6th. Can we record that? Is that possible?
Yes. We'll have a show released on the 8th, yep.
I don't mean the 6th, I mean the 1st.
Right.
And then am I going to be around after that?
No, you're probably not.
No, I'm not. If you guys can do a show while I'm away, then that, by all means...
I'll do one just on my own here in the bedroom. That's fine.
Actually, that would be a good idea. No, we have a break. We won't go on the no show on the 8th. No show on the 15th.
Yeah, and then we'll be back on the 22nd.
Yes.
So I say get your entries in as quickly as you can. I think it would be pretty great if we have them all in for that show on the 1st. So get your entries in by the Tuesday, the 30th of August.
That's not long. It's only a week. People need time to plan and execute.
Yeah, that's probably right. No, I guess we'll have to give...
check the website.
Otherwise, you're going to have like a month to do this.
Yeah.
Check the website for full details.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll decide, exactly.
But you will have some time. We will have a two-week break.
Think about what you're going to do. Start thinking about your song or your dance or your painting or your photo or whatever. Preferably, it's not going to be... I mean, I think it has to be something that you made for this. It can't be a photo that you took in 1977 of your kids, even though that you're really proud of them. You know, it's got to be something that you make kind of in response to this.
But you could, of course, take the photo of your kids from 1977 and Photoshop on some more culturally relevant.
Absolutely true.
To make a collage.
That's completely right. That's absolutely correct.
So do that.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation.
All right. Are we done with announcing this competition really half-assedly? I think we probably are. And
it's
now,
as half-assed as we could manage it.
And now a word from our sponsor. Hewlett-Packard are launching their latest and greatest WebOS smartphone handset, the Palm Pre 3, and they're giving us a handful of them to give away to our listeners. The Pre 3 operates a single-core 1.4 gigahertz Qualcomm processor, 5-megapixel camera that can record video in 720p, and a forward-facing VGA camera for video chat. It sports a 3.6-inch 480 by 800 screen and has a slide-out keyboard. And
that sounds good.
Oh, wait a second. No, I've just got an email. I've just got an email from HP. Apparently, whatever you do, don't read out the copy that I sent you earlier. We're not paying any sponsorship money. The whole thing's cancelled and I've been made redundant.
Bugger.
Oh, well, that's inopportune timing.
Oh, well.
Forget I said anything.
What a cock-up. Jeez.
Seriously, though, did you see what happened with the whole HP cancellation stuff? It was
just
amazing. Like, almost adjacent news stories in my RSS, in my feed reader. You know, story one, earlier in the day, says HP launching Pre 3 in Europe. They're very excited. Here's all the specs, and it's an amazing phone. Story two, just hours later, the whole project is cancelled. They're not making phones anymore. Their entire investment in Palm has basically been written off. And they're probably entirely getting out of PCs.
It's incredibly bizarre. I heard a really interesting take on it, which was that kind of everyone knows the PC market long term is, apart from the enterprise, is gone. You know, it's MacBook Airs and it's tablets that are going to take over. MacBook Airs, yes.
You think that Apple is going to be the dominant player?
Yeah. No, not necessarily the Apple, but I mean in the form factor, right? So
right.
It's not netbooks. It's super portables and tablets.
It's what Intel calls ultrabooks.
Yeah, which is
a terrible name.
Anyway, so someone made an interesting point that basically HP threw their hands in there and said, well, fuck it, if we can't make a tablet work, even though they only go 49 days, then we can't even make PCs work either, so let's just fall back to the enterprise.
Yeah,
I find that so hard to believe, though, because, I mean, Compaq and HP must be the biggest laptop manufacturer, at least in this country, and certainly in this region. I know Dell's big in the States, but it's astonishing.
I think
it really is a crazy move. And they must have, I don't know what the story is. Sorry, I'm walking around while I'm talking. But what numbers did they fail to meet inside of that 49 days that caused them to pull the plug? Because that must have been
a massive investment.
Yeah, you know, a massive investment. And how could they know within 49 days that it was... I mean, everyone else knew it was a failure, I guess.
Here's what happened. The head of the department, the head of the division, someone gave him an iPad 2 and they gave him an Android Tab 10.1. And he went, fuck it. Can't be bothered.
This thing's a piece of shit.
The statement in their earnings call or whatever it was that there was too much uncertainty in success. So basically, you know, they could have put their money in the bank and made more money that, you know, guaranteed to make money, or they could have thrown it at the pre and, you know, the touchpad and maybe made a shit ton, probably lost it all.
Is putting your money in the bank still guaranteed to make money? I'm not sure if that's still the case anymore.
Not really.
That's apparently a crazy topsy-turvy world that we live in.
Well, Leighton Duncan in the chat room says Apple are already the dominant player in portables. If he means phones, then that's not true. If he means tablets, then that's probably true. If he means laptops in general, I'm not sure it's right. I haven't got a chart for just laptops, but it says PC market share, and I think laptops are by far the largest item in PCs now. And this says Apple are doing extremely well on about 10%. Dell 25-ish, HP 25-ish.
Yeah, it depends on how you count phones as well. They are, you know, the dominant single phone player. They're bigger than, you know, Samsung Androids or HTC Androids or whatever, but not bigger than Android as a whole.
No, not even not even close. I think that
they're a touch bigger than Windows Phone, just barely.
Windows Phone is at what, 1%?
Depends on who you ask. Anywhere between 1% and 2%.
If you ask Microsoft, it's over 110%.
That if the I'd say Apple's probably the market leader in that micro portable, the ultra portable laptops though.
Hell yeah,
The MacBook Air. I mean, there still isn't really a lot of good competition for that.
There is a lot of competition in the netbooks, but none of them are any use.
Well, no, they're the small form factor netbooks. You know, they're the 10-inch netbooks. They're not the
But I wouldn't get 13
or 15-inch laptops with the solid state drive.
The most popular netbooks, I think, are about 12 inches now, and that doesn't really count as a netbook in the old way of looking at it. But I think anything with a shitty third rate Intel Atom processor is pretty much a netbook now. Pieces of junk that they are. All right, what's next? Oh, we can probably do some fast fives. What do you want to do?
Sure, let's do fast fives, even though you've just stolen one of mine that I stole from you and you stole back again. But I've got some things to say about it. So.
Fast five.
Ben? So what was? How many? Who wants to start?
I've got three.
Three.
Great. The police have dropped the case against Ari Volkamp Smith.
Well, they already punished him, didn't they, with their fists and billy clubs?
They did, and 11 days in jail, and non-association order with his partner. And
tried to intimidate TVNZ.
Of goons.
Yeah, they dropped the case. They made a statement which I can't be bothered really going through it in any detail, but essentially they've made a lot of claims about why they didn't drop the case earlier and why it had to be held out and why they couldn't offer diversion, all of which seem just like... covering their ass bullshit, to be honest.
Now, did the judge tell them to reconsider and give them diversion, like, twice?
Three times they got sent away to look at diversion. Three times they came back.
That's something that we didn't speak about last week. And that is, I think that is quite uncommon for the judge to send a case back and say, no, you really should be considering diversion in this. And then for the police to say, well, Your Honour, respectfully, we disagree. And then for the judge to do it two more times and say, no, seriously, guys, you shouldn't be bringing this case. Give them diversion. And, I mean, what were they thinking?
It's astonishing. Okay, number two.
You've got to let me push the button. It's my only job.
Okay, our last week's guest, I think you'll remember, delightful local MP or delightful New Zealand MP Gareth Hughes.
Oh, he's so good.
Yep, has been injured, terribly injured, whilst heroically defending Parliament's honour.
Oh no, what happened? A bunch of...
He was playing for the Parliamentary First 15 against the Diplomats First 15.
Oh, what a smashed them.
Yeah, and he got his nose broken.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I understand. So, I understand. From
smashed him, bro.
And they didn't win.
No, they didn't win. They got beat.
Yeah.
Stink, bro. And that's like the All Blacks losing to, I don't know, Wales.
Who knows? Well, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, okay.
It's a bit embarrassing. I would. I want to see the game, though, now.
Although, yeah, I know. It better be, because they're doing the, what did he say, they're doing the Parliamentary World Cup. Someone better televise that shit.
Yeah, we've got a lot to lose there, because I understand from what he spoke about last week. I didn't even know this thing existed. But from what he said last week, we are the current Parliamentary World Rugby Champions.
Oh, yes, we should be.
Obviously.
Well, it's to be expected, but we've got a lot to lose now.
Actually, well, I need to find out, what we'd have to pay to get a Parliamentary First 15 supporters jersey?
Well, probably it comes from Canterbury, so it'll be about $80.
Right.
One
gentleman in I've got to look up the name of the town. It's a teeny town.
Murupara.
Won $12 million in Saturday's Powerball, and he wants to remain anonymous. There's a news story which then says he had to ask for the day off to claim his prize. So pretty much.
How big is Murupara?
I think someone said there's like 1,000 people live there. It's top population around 2,000. So he had to ask for the day off from a forestry worker who had to ask for the day off to claim his prize. So pretty much he's outed himself.
I think, frankly, I would move. I mean, I don't know what Murupara is like. It might be a lovely place. It might be, you know, an oasis of calm tranquility and beauty. But move somewhere amazing with vineyards.
The timber town of Murupara sits at the edge of the Kaingaroa Forest. If hunting and fishing are on your agenda, you'll find plenty of action here.
All right, so it sounds like a dry-as-a-bone town rather than like a latte town.
Yeah. So that's it. I'm done.
All right.
I have four now. I had three, now four. I have four. And the time it took...
Four.
Okay, four. Number four, Mix and Mash. Mix and Mash is a competition.
Sounds delicious.
What?
Sounds delicious.
I'm just checking the URL. Mix and Mash. mixandmash.org.nz is a competition to showcase open data and open government in New Zealand. Yeah. You can simply enter by mashing up either cultural, musical stuff or digital stuff. And submitting to it. So entries close Thursday 9 p.m. 15th of September, and there's big prizes. There's $10,000 grand prize and sort of $4,000 and $5,000 supreme prizes. So things like mashups that show I don't know, using government data that's available, like one of the winners last year was you put in your salary and it showed you a tax receipt of where all your taxes went.
Yeah, I remember that was pretty cool, that one.
Yeah. There was another playing card game for members of parliament that compared their stats, like, you know, height and interests and that sort of stuff. Yeah, get into it. It's good.
I wish I was smarter.
You are Three. Smart, Dylan. Surely you could do something.
Three. I'm not very good for that sort of thing.
Leighton Duncan says, oh, don't forget webstock.org.nz/upcoming/2012-launch.php, which is a lovely URL.
What is he doing there?
I don't know. He's explaining what's wrong with the world and how to fix it once and for all, apparently.
Well, that'll be good.
Three.
Vodafone and Pacific Fibre. Up a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes us getting fucked in the ass again.
Vodafone have signed a long-term deal with Pacific Fibre, which friend of the show Lance Wiggs is involved in, I think, or was involved in, to say they will use Pacific Fibre. I'm betting they got a rip-roar of a deal with that, because I heard Pac Fibre on the radio talking about how it was good to have Vodafone's brand associated with Pacific Fibre, which would help get more investors.
Right.
So I imagine Vodafone have signed up, get a good amount of bandwidth for a cheap price.
Yeah.
Did you see a friendly tweet from Telstra Clear congratulating Vodafone and Pacific Fibre on that?
Oh, nice work.
I like that.
It is, and I'm hoping it will result in lower prices. Because, I mean, well, Southern Cross pricing is already getting lower because of Pacific Fibre existing in the first place, which is cool.
I like this whole thing. I think that more pipes in and out of New Zealand are absolutely, even if it doesn't actually reduce our price, it means that, you know, if there's an earthquake somewhere out in the Pacific,
or ship's anchor or whatever,
yeah, or who knows what, then it won't mean that we're suddenly isolated and feel like a small country, you know, a small Pacific nation, way, you know, 2,000 kilometers from the nearest serious land mass. Oh, this is a special
30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Right. Good.
What was that number? Was that
2?
Now it is 2.
Yeah.
Well, we could skip 2 if you want.
It's 2.
It's more touchpads. HP touchpads liquidated at fire sale prices. So they're selling them for $99 a pop. In fact, I think they were selling them for $99 a pop across the ditch earlier today.
Sold out. If you want one, too late.
More than $99.
Well, that's a good point. Hadn't really thought of that. I still think of that being cheaper. I know. Sold out. And funny thing is, imagine if you bought one for a full price of whatever it was, $500.
Oh, you'd be gutted.
Harvey Norman New Zealand tweeted today, said, we are not reducing the prices.
Crikey. Well, good luck selling them.
They need to pull them off the shelves because, you know, admittedly no one's buying them, but if someone walked in and bought one, how would you feel? Anyway, still HP have pressured Best Buy in the States to refund money. So if you've bought an HP touchpad, you can take it in and get everything but the $99 refunded if you want.
Now, I've heard good things about WearBoss, but I've heard that the touchpads are maybe a little bit slow, like the hardware's a little bit under spec, maybe?
I don't know. I've heard good things about it, actually.
Right.
General.
But, I mean, I guess it's all academic now. I think this is a huge bummer, because without credible competitors, there's no reason for Apple to continue leading the game by so much. I mean, all they have to do is you know, their typical, you know, slight iteration.
I just phone it in.
Yeah, change the beveling on the edges and, you know, every now and then bump the processor. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a whole lot of players that were already strong and everyone was really battling to be the best?
But so do you think WebOS will live on? Is it going to get bought by another concern?
No way.
Maybe they could drop it into the open source?
It's been fucked out twice now, right? I mean, Palm died a death and was bought by HP, and then HP couldn't make anything of it either. So,
best case scenario, it'll run on HP printers.
If they still make printers.
Right.
One.
John West No Drain Tuna. What the fuck?
Sounds great. Right.
So I think my lovely wife picked this up, either by accident or because she was attracted by the blue flash on the can. You know, it was a green John West can with a blue flash saying, no drain, no mess.
Mm. Oh, shiny.
Have you like been really annoyed with draining your tuna recently?
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does it really suck to have to like spend 30 seconds to drain your tuna or maybe give the juice to your cat?
You know what it is, though? It's the stink of tuna juice gets on stuff.
Rubbish.
Okay, fine. It's
bollocks. It's absolute bollocks. And this product is crap. It's dry, disgusting tuna in a can. Tuna in a can is shit at the best of times. It's okay if you mix it with some pasta or something as a salad.
Yeah.
But dry tuna without any brine.
Let me tell you my favorite tuna recipe, even though I'm still kind of a vegetarian, the fakest ass vegetarian in the room now, given that I had a beef vindaloo last night. It's the weekend. I'm a weekday vegetarian now. You know, it's fucking week, eh? It's so tenuous. But, you know, these are the rules that I find myself living by. Something is something I haven't had for several years because I haven't had it since I became, you know, a proper vegetarian. Cook up some delicious basmati rice. Follow my recipe if you like. Well, it's not really mine, but, you know, it's a good recipe. On morgannickel.com, search for basmati, I guess. Boil an egg and get a can of... I actually prefer the oily tuna, but drain it out well. And get furikake. That's really the secret ingredient.
Oh, furikake.
And slice the boiled egg onto the rice. Spoon out as much of the tuna as you want. I prefer the chunky one rather than the mashy one, which is kind of useless. And then sprinkle liberally I prefer the chili furikake, which is basically it's a Japanese seasoning blend. It's various spices, sesame seeds and chili flakes and bonito and all sorts of good stuff. And it is just so delicious. It makes for a friggin' delicious meal, I tell you what.
So it sounds a bit like a Japanese kidgeri you're making there.
You're looking for Furitake, which is it's spelt Furitake, T-A-K-E. And yeah, you're right. It's a Japanese sprinkle.
Furitake? I've never heard it.
Yes.
I've only ever heard of it Furikake, K-A-K-E.
I always thought Furitake.
I think you might be wrong.
I am wrong. Even though I thought it was the other way around.
Oh, dear.
Punt.
Furikake.
Now, I mean, after that thrashing I just gave poor Ben, he's probably suffering from PTSD. I should probably... the agony and the ecstasy, the quiet mission to fight PTSD with psychedelic drugs. This is from motherboard.tv.
Wait, was that five again?
Yeah, well, I've started.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry, the last one was four.
You know how each of us got
someone on the tuner thing. Go on.
Yeah, that's right. That was nothing. That was Ben's.
Yeah, okay.
I dominated.
You were so into the tuner.
Now, this is about Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans who come home with post-traumatic stress disorder after what they have seen or what they've actually done. Because, I mean, you know, in war, you can do some, even if the war is not legitimate, maybe individual soldiers can do legitimate, justified things, but which are pretty horrific. I mean, shooting someone can't be nice. Blowing someone up can't be nice.
No, you know, watching your friends get shot and blown up also probably not nice.
That's right. And so how do you recover from that? Well, you know, therapy, drugs, I don't know what. But apparently a new approach is using MDMA, a.k.a. ecstasy. And what they do is they get these veterans in a room. They start at 10 a.m. and they pop some pills and then they just kind of go through this process, I guess, of talking through things and trying to overcome some of the blocks of PTSD, which I can even begin to imagine what that's actually like. If the soldiers don't, you know, manage to come, God, I'm stumble bumming. They traumatize them while wasted. If they try and get them to break through some of these blocks while tripping balls. And I understand that, you know, maybe it's helping a bit, but it's only at the very beginning, the early stages of
trials. Yeah, I was just glancing at the article. It is interesting the way they're saying that it is. It's not giving them ecstasy to help them get over stuff. It's actually giving it to them to help them kind of, you know, reveal it and break through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. It removes inhibitions, doesn't it? So are there glow sticks and water bottles and lollipops involved?
You got to be careful of the water bottles when you're on the old E.
Yeah, you don't want to go too much in the water.
I say if you're on the old E, then stick with Powerade because there's no way that you can do the whatever it is that they do to their brains where they drown
yourself. Yeah.
Really? Oh, okay.
You lower your sodium.
Four.
Oh, is that the issue? Right, okay.
Four.
Teacher cannot be sued for denying creationism. This was, I think he was a history teacher. And he PC gone mad is right. He was in the States somewhere. Where was he? California. And some student was upset about hostile remarks that he made about I think he made a joke about creationism he was a flying spaghetti monster guy, actually. It sounds like a Pastafarian. Because the example he used was that, you know, it was about as credible to believe in, you know, the Christian God creating all as it was to believe that there's a spaghetti monster hiding behind the moon that did it. And this student was so upset, and possibly the student's parents, who maybe were lawyers, but I'm guessing that bit. And the first appeals court or a district court actually said that maybe this was in breach of the mandate that the government remain neutral. It's called something like the law of, I can't remember what it's called, establishment, I think, the law of the rules of establishment. But this isn't the government. This is an individual teacher in a classroom. The Ninth Circuit, is that what it is?
Yeah, that'd be right.
Yes, the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled unanimously that this lawsuit must be thrown out of court because the teacher is entitled to immunity. But it's not because teachers are allowed to say things that maybe offends religious people, but because they can't yet establish what if it's illegal. So they're not saying it's legal. They're saying they aren't sure, so this guy can't be charged. But, I mean, what a bloody disaster that is, that a teacher can't speak openly and honestly. I mean, I think I'm appalled, but, you know, that's the
The only redeeming, well, the only reasonable aspect, I'd say it's not appropriate for teachers to be demeaning to people's beliefs.
Why not?
So perhaps, well, it's just not appropriate. I don't think.
But
I
mean, they are meant to teach facts. What if your beliefs
are a bunch of bollocks?
Teach
everyone's beliefs, but I'm saying it's not necessarily appropriate for him to demean other people's beliefs. So he doesn't have to teach creationism, and that's good. In some places in the States, he would have to teach creationism.
But what if your beliefs are directly contrary to all observable evidence?
And it's in a subject where it's being demeaning, is all I'm saying. You can say, well,
but being offended, it's kind of in the eye of the mind.
But if it was,
I think that everyone's got to get over the idea that they have a right to never be offended, because frankly, I don't think you have any such right.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that teachers in a classroom and in the position that teachers are in should perhaps be cautious about how they portray people and things. If it was a militantly heterosexual teacher saying something incredibly derogatory about homosexuality, that would receive a different treatment. Well, depending again on the state in the US, but in California, they'd probably there is discriminatory issues. I think the only caveat I see, or the only reasonable thing I see there, is that it's perhaps not appropriate for a teacher to be demeaning to someone else's beliefs, especially if they can say the same thing without being insulting.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but teachers have to be able to speak without reading from a script the whole time and having a lawyer vet everything that they say.
I think as long as it's
factual, I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah.
And certainly suing them is ridiculous.
And personally, I don't think of teachers as representatives of the government. And that's the grounds under which this particular teacher was sued. So, I mean, the whole thing seems pretty unfair, but it seems like luckily enough, there was what I think is the correct judgment in this case. What number was that? Now we're up to?
3.
90% of people don't know how to use Control F. Is it Control F for Apple people, or is it like Command F for them?
Command F, I think.
Command F. If listeners, I'm sure you already know that means find within the current page or find within the current document. This is from Dan Russell, who's a search anthropologist at Google.
That's such a cool title.
Yeah, it is pretty cool, eh? And he said that 90% of people in Google studies don't know how to use Control or Command F to find a word in, whatever. I think that's pretty amazing as well. How do people – so people actually physically – some pages are big. Some documents are big.
Do they know how to do, edit find, or do they not know how to search within a document at all? Is it they don't know the shortcut, or they just are simply unaware that they can search within a document or within a page?
Well, the quote from the search anthropologist, Dan Russell, says, I do these field studies and I can tell you how many hours – I can't tell you how many hours I've sat in somebody's house as they've read through a long document trying to find the result they're looking for.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. At the end, I'll say to them, let me show you one little trick here. And very often people will say, I can't believe I've been wasting my life.
I actually showed a colleague something on the software we use today, and she was like, oh, my God, all these years, I didn't know that. Yeah. It's funny the things you learn that you, can't believe you didn't know.
2.
Have you ever found yourself frothing at the fingertips while explaining why someone doesn't deserve to use an iPhone because of their deeply flawed sense of aesthetics? This is all – I shouldn't even start it that way. I should probably read my stories. Fanboys treat criticism of favorite brands as threat to self-image. Now, this is according to a psychological study. It's in the next issue of the Journal of Consumer Psychology. Now, previously, psychologists thought that – people related to brands as they related perhaps to friends. But now this latest research shows that people relate to their favorite brands as an extension of themselves. So anyone criticizing Windows Phone 7, Ben.
Yeah, or, it is shit. Windows Phone 7 sucks.
Or Apple's iPhones or whatever's, everyone in the chat room. They hear that and receive that as an insult to themselves. Which isn't reasonable, of course. And I think I probably feel this myself. I don't really care when people question or insult Android. I don't find that an insult to myself, but I'm sure I feel it sometimes when people talk about Windows when they clearly haven't used it in three or four generations. Mm. So it's something that I think we all have to let go of, because brands are not they're definitely not us, and they're certainly not our friends, because these are big corporate brands. What you're doing is you're letting the marketing get deeply into your psyche.
God, you don't have to find an example of that, do you?
45 minutes.
It is really, really hard to find any sort of lack of bias. Like, I try to temper my fanboyism with consideration of numbers. You know, it's wildly obvious that Windows Phone 7 is nowhere. You know, it's underperforming in the market.
Yeah,
doesn't change the fact I really enjoy programming for it and enjoy using it.
Yeah,
but I'm quite open to say, yeah, Android is dominant.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, it's interesting.
Well, what I hope is that it changes around heaps, and that we don't ever achieve any kind of stasis. That the devices are compatible in the important ways. For instance, that they all have web browsers that render equivalently. That they all use compatible wireless standards, and ideally that they all use compatible charging plugs and so on as well.
God, imagine if they could all share contact information properly and stuff. Does Windows Phone 7 loads contacts from Google, doesn't it? Does it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, so Windows Phone 7 and Android can. It's just iPhone that's out in the dark.
That syncs contacts from Gmail as well, doesn't it?
Does it? I don't know. I just remember trying to migrate one Windows phone to another without going through the iTunes process.
No, they all do now. They're all pretty good.
Yeah. One.
One.
What are we getting
Rugby there? World Cup benefits. Wildly overestimated.
Oh, really?
The economic benefits of the Rugby World Cup may have been wildly overestimated by the tournament's backers, a senior academic said yesterday, as the Reserve Bank hosed down expectations of a $700 million boost to the economy.
I really, really wish they just said, this competition is awesome, we're going to have a hell of a lot of fun, and let's just do it, rather than trying to fucking market it as a economic panacea.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I think that we should all try and have fun. We should all try and enjoy it. The number of people I've heard who say, oh, the rugby, I'm going to avoid that all I can. Well, I mean, you can either be a sourpuss. I mean, a lot of people aren't into rugby. I'm not particularly into rugby. But, I mean, if you're going to be a hater, you're going to be miserable for 6 weeks. Or you're going to be avoiding Twitter, and you're going to be avoiding the news, and you're going to be avoiding...
They're not going to be avoiding Twitter. They're going to be on Twitter bitching about how everyone's talking about rugby.
Yeah, and I really don't want to... I mean, the hater backlash would be... well, it should probably be pretty minor, because on Twitter it seems like a majority of people are haters.
What I wanted to ask Paul Brislin about, actually, when he came on, but we'll give him next time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is another episode we failed to get Paul Brislin on.
Yeah. Maybe that can be an ongoing gag.
Yeah.
We'll have him on next week.
Will we? All right. What's next? We better move on, because that was my one, I think. Let's do...
Urban Dictionary, Word of the Week.
I really shouldn't have pushed that button. Hey, you guys, you should just talk amongst yourselves, because I've definitely already chosen an Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Well, I'll read a message from our sponsor, shall I?
Good idea.
Discourse.co.nz/VPN. Do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer even though you're not currently in America or the UK? Do you want to listen to me reading a message as if I'm just reading it on the page right now without ad-libbing it?
Yes.
Do you have some reason for wanting people who try to look at your internet connection to see that you're in New Zealand, but instead that you're on some anonymous IP address in Canada, Sweden, France, England, America, or even Russia?
Yes.
Do you just generally want to have your anonymity protected on the internet, maybe because your government has recently passed stupid, dangerous, draconian laws?
Yes.
Tell them to mind their own business and mind your own, and go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up.
Wow, that sounds like a fantastic offer.
Surprisingly inexpensive, too.
But wait, what if I wanted to... No. That's great.
No, it's all good.
Yep.
Let me tell you, now there's two things to be aware of with this. One, during the sign-up process, I think some people are asked to give them a photo or a scan of their credit card. I did that. It seems really weird, and I still find it a bit weird, but they tell you to black out all but a couple of digits of the thing. I think it's just to verify that your name is on a card or something.
So you're not getting off a credit card list or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can black out the numbers, and you can black out the security code and so on, and they Yeah, I think it's just to prevent. Maybe they had a big problem previously with people using, because I mean this is an anonymizing service. They don't want random horrible spammers on there, or the whole thing is going to be shut down eventually, right?
Yeah, that is. I suppose that with anything like that, where you're operating, in, I'm not going to say quasi legal, but where you're operating a service that has a lot of benefit for people who are not doing legal things, yeah. You've got to try and mitigate the risks of falling victim to those same not so legal tactics.
Yeah. And related to that other thing that isn't streaming Hulu or BBC iPlayer that you might want to do with this, it works real good. It works real good. That's
You mean browsing content?
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Websites.
Yeah, exactly. Works real good.
So it can handle a lot of simultaneous connections.
That's correct.
Cool.
And they've got servers all over the place, so you can use servers in countries where there are different regimes in control.
Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
Because the less said about all of that, the better.
Do they have any servers in Libya?
Not in Libya, but all over Europe, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, UK, Canada, the US, and so on, all over the place. And you can change between them freely as often as you like.
What do you need to get a does anyone know what you need to get a Netflix account? I'm just curious. So could you use the VPN and also get a Netflix account and take advantage of Netflix?
I haven't tried, but I imagine
probably if it's anything like Zoom, you need a genuine USA credit card. Right. I found it really hard to do it any other way.
Yeah.
All right. Word of the week.
Discord's weekly show.
Urban Dictionary. Word of the week.
Urban Dictionary. Word of the week. I should probably even stop messing around. We've got 9 minutes. That's heaps. Benedict Gracewood from the internet. Your word is walk-in closet.
Walk-in closet. Spelt as it's said?
Yep. Not like Christopher Walken. WALK-IN space closet.
Walk-in closet. Would Christopher Walken closet be a funny word of the week?
Oh, God, I wish I could do a Christopher Walken impression. It's one of the things I want to do in my life.
Walk-in closet. See, I'm immediately thinking about homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. That's not because of the word, it's just the general.
Yeah, say, you know, how about you focus on the word?
So I'm going to say it is a frat house where you walk in and immediately you assume to be hetero in the closet.
Definitely not gay, like Tom Cruise.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I was going to go with something similar, but I won't now. Instead, I'll suggest that it's a small room, but larger than a normal closet, adjoining a bedroom containing things like clothing.
Right.
That one can walk into or perhaps run into in the middle of the night and hide in. Yeah.
I did that once when I was in my sleeping.
Did you?
Goodness me. I ran for it across the bed. I guess my eyes must have been open, but I was unconscious because, you know, aforementioned sleeping, sleepwalking, sleep running, sleep sprinting for it. And then I woke up in the closet with the door slammed shut behind me, leaning against it. And I was very confused and embarrassed, I tell you what. Mm. Where am I? What am I doing? In my sleep. Oh, jeez. Don't worry, baby. It's just me. I was asleep. Well, I probably didn't say anything. I probably sheepishly, I should probably have this thing ready. I sheepishly just went back to bed without saying a goddamn word.
You're all wrong. You're all wrong.
I should probably put that on loop. Sucked in. Walk-in closet. Terrible votes. 1,200 upvotes, 4,300 downvotes. A woman who has a beard or disguise for a gay man that has not come out.
Well, it's a beard, though. I was even going to go there because I was thinking on the beard concept.
Ben, too. What you gave me was definition number two, walk-in closet, six up, one down. A small room in a house that functions as a closet, named so because you can walk into it.
Well, I got that one, so I'm going to take some solace in the fact that I got one of the definitions.
Yeah, well done. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Slightly side note, distraction for a second, ascent.co.nz.
Yeah.
Who are a direct sales site and also an importer of HP products, not Ascent. What am I talking about? Acquire.co.nz.
Yeah. Oh, have they got the ThinkPads?
They have a red bar saying, HP touchpad, hot news coming Tuesday morning. Watch this space.
Should we buy one, Ben?
I think
we should. 100 bucks or $150. Apparently the Weebo S is really good, so it'll be a shame to see it die. Anyway, there you go.
Buy one for your computer museum.
There's going to be, there's going to be no apps for it though, right?
Do they have an online app store? WebOS app store? Applications, HP official site.
All right, while you look that up, I'll get started on the toot bag because we're running short on time.
Let's open up the toot bag.
The first comment is from Pete. This is a comment from the site, so I don't know what his Twitter name is. Enjoying the podcast as ever. Could you turn Ben's sound up a bit? Morgan projects his voice well, but that Ben is either a mumbler or damn shy.
Now, or both.
Or both. And Ben will remember last week me saying, get into the microphone. I think I only did it once, but that's all he gets now because he's meant to be a pro.
Angry Birds, Shrek Cart HD. You carry on, I'll keep finding.
I've got Angry Birds. Oh, well, that's sweet. That's totally legitimate.
Next from the toot bag is Suyin Koo at K Suyin. Dear beloved friend of the show, indicator of a good discourse show is availability of extra large episode. XL. Not sure if we'll do that this week, but maybe 10 minutes. And then Ben's going to run off and go back to work because he's a busy lad.
HP Movie Store powered by Roxio Now TM.
Yeah, you won't be able to use that here though, right?
Facebook, WordPress, no. Free texting.
Another comment from the site. This is from James on Twitter. He's at PulpTor. Just listening to Ben and Dylan whinging about their commutes, and it occurred to me that if they swapped houses or jobs, they could both walk to work in less than half an hour. I love public transport, but an even more effective way of getting cars off the road is to live close to where you work. Now, how can I persuade my boss to let me work from home? I completely agree. I moved close to work, and I've been extremely happy since I did. I've been orbiting around my office the last three places I've lived, and it is just, it takes away so much stress and trouble.
We are going to have to move before the end of the year, but we like the school that Harrison's at so much that we don't want to move very far away. No. Otherwise, to be honest, heading out to Te Aratu Way would probably be our next option.
Yeah.
Come out to Te Aratu. It's nice out here.
Yeah.
It's safe to say there's shit all WebOS apps.
Yeah.
There's a few.
Mm. Richard Vowles at Richard Vowles on Twitter. For what it's worth, I really enjoyed 2.09 episode 9 of this season. That was me and Dill.
2.0 Nyan.
2.0 Nyan, that's right. The weird music and poo talk just made me laugh. And he also said, and I don't get the too long concept. Surely people can invest in a pause button. Long is way better.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, Richard Vowles,
you're still rubbing it in.
Makes a podcast with Talios that I believe is frequently very long.
Yes, I'm sure.
So, you know.
I'm in favour of the longer shows, but I really enjoy our kind of snappier a 1 hour long main show now, and then when we want to roll it over, we can.
I like that.
I like this approach. Last couple from Jess McKenzie at JZM on Twitter, cracking up at discourse. Thank you. I hope that you enjoyed this one as well.
I'd be curious to know precisely. It'd be good to know precisely which bit cracked her up.
Lastly, Matt Evans at Matt Evans NZ on Twitter, tuning into discourse from Melbourne. Gareth Hughes is live now, obviously listening to the live show last week. I hope you enjoyed it, and I don't know, hopefully you're listening again.
You know what I got from that Gareth Hughes thing? There's so much more. I'd love to just sit down and chat to him. There's so much more I'd like to know.
Yeah.
There
was a little bit of discussion about the moment of awkwardness when he started talking about how he'd done religious studies at university. My assumption was that meant that he was a religious guy and was about to start talking about his Christianity. So Ben was sitting here in the studio with me, and I probably went pale and my jaw dropped, and I looked at him in a panic like, oh my God, I can't talk to this guy because I'm going to be really offensive. But then, of course, he one-upped us. He friggin' doubled down and turned it into awesomeness by talking about the fact that he, instead of studying, boring old Abrahamic religions or whatever, he instead studied, I think he said a bit of Buddhism, but mainly UFO cults.
Yeah, that's pretty special. Who knew you could?
God, he was a good guest.
Now, a friend of the show, Ryan Sproul, also studied religion at university.
Yeah, but he is actually religious. So,
Well, he was, although he became less religious doing that.
Yeah. 1 minute.
1 minute!
Corrections.
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 Corrections. Good news. There are no corrections because we are awesome.
Everything's perfect.
I would like to suggest, this is last thoughts. You guys can get your thoughts in order in the next 45 seconds. Back up your shit. I've told you week after week after week, make a backup, get a little hard drive, maybe put TrueCrypt on it so it's nicely encrypted, back all your stuff up to it, and just put it in your satchel or in your bag or whatever it is that you take to work, and just carry that around with you. If you lose it, no one can get into it because it's TrueCrypted. And if your stuff is ripped off from your home or there's a fire while you're at work, you've got all your stuff on you, and now all you need to do is replace your crappy stuff, but you don't need to find somewhere to replace your data.
There you go.
I agree. Back up your stuff. Good stuff.
Thank you, Telecom. We really appreciate the Motorola Defiers, and thank you, Microsoft, for the HTC trophies.
See you later.
Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
You're listening to the weekly show on Whiskers.
We're using that one.
Tune in right now for the extra large extended edition, available on discourse.co.nz or in your iTunes if you're already subscribed to the weekly show. Ha 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 ha